I should like you to be free of anxieties so that you can hear to the Lord without distraction. Very interesting passage from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where for the second week in a row, he's kind of talking about the celibate life, the unhindered life that the unmarried man, the unmarried woman can focus themselves completely on the Lord, on the cares of the Lord, and where the married man, the married woman is divided and are concerned with the anxieties of the world. It's an interesting passage. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I would maybe encourage us all, especially those of you who are living in the married state, to maybe read the entire passage, because he is in no way disparaging the married life. And it's actually St. Paul's beautiful writings on marriage in Ephesians and in Colossians that really help us understand the theology of marriage, the sacramentality of marriage. But that first line is what's important in this. I would like you to be free of anxieties. This section, he starts off by saying, in response to the letter that you wrote me, let me tell you these things. So he's responding to a particular situation in the church in Corinth. This community that he had founded, that he had established, that he had an intimate relationship with, that they wrote to him with a concern about something going on in the community. And so he was responding to that situation. But if we take a step back and just look at it objectively, what a great admonition, a great invitation for each of us to live our life free of anxieties with adherence to the decrees of the Lord. To live a life without a hardened heart, that our heart is fully opened to the mind and the will of God. Because that's what the responsorial psalm was all about. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And that if, for us, is kind of interesting, because we live in the age of the church, in the age of Jesus Christ, the Word which was made flesh, the Word which dwells among us, the Word which is made present to us every time we gather as a community, every time we hear the Scriptures, clearly every time we come to Mass, we are hearing the Word of God. So if you hear his voice, maybe it's when. For us, we should say, when we hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So have you heard his voice this morning? Just in these few moments, these few minutes we've been at this Holy Mass, have you heard the voice of God crying out to you, speaking to you? The voice of the prophecy, the voice of that long-awaited prophet that would be raised up, one like Moses that we heard in the first reading, where God told Moses that I will raise up one like you. Like you. You who've been chosen to walk with me intimately, to talk with me face to face, to rise to the top of the mountain, to encounter me in all of my majesty and all of my glory, to receive the law from my mind, my hand, so that you can give this law to the people. You who talk to me face to face so dramatically that your face shines with my glory. One like you I will raise up. And everyone was waiting for that day when one like Moses would arise on the scene. And we know, as we read the Scriptures, as we encounter Jesus Christ, that he is that one. For when he asks people, who do you say that I am? Some people say that you are the prophet. And at one time they asked them, are you the prophet? They were anticipating, they were expecting, they were hoping. But they were also astonished at the words of Jesus this morning, with the very beginning of Mark's gospel, where we still don't know exactly who this man is, and clearly the people of the time didn't really know who this man was. So he appears in the synagogue, the teaching house, these little rooms, these little houses in each community where the people would gather each Sabbath to hear the Scriptures proclaimed and to hear a teaching on them. This wasn't the temple, which was in Jerusalem, the one place where the sacrifice was made, where a few times each year all the men had to journey, had to pilgrimage to Jerusalem. But each week they had a chance to encounter the scriptures in the synagogue, and any adult male could stand up and proclaim. Any adult male could begin to preach and to teach, but usually when they would do so, they would claim their heritage, their lineage on the rabbis that they studied under. Maybe as a defense mechanism, so you can't get mad at me because so-and-so taught me this. And they would try to trace their lineage all the way back to Moses, that great prophet, but not Jesus. And we know from the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard it said, you should not commit adultery, but I say, if you have anger in your heart. You have heard it said, you should not commit adultery, but if you have lust in your heart. He's speaking with an authority that comes from his very own being. And that's what that word means. And that's what the people encountered this morning in the gospel, that they recognized from the very way he was speaking that he wasn't claiming authority based upon someone else, but he was speaking the truth from his very self. You know, Moses was chosen to set the people free from slavery. That the Hebrews had been in Egypt for 400 years under this, enslaved under the Pharaoh. And Moses was chosen to set them free. To go through the Red Sea. To go through the waters into freedom. No longer held captive in slavery. One like that would come again, would gather those who are enslaved and walk them through the waters into freedom. This is what Jesus does. To each one of us who are enslaved in sin, through the waters of baptism, Jesus leads us to freedom. But some, like the Old Testament, like the men who were hearing him, are astonished. They're perplexed. It's unfamiliar what they're hearing. They're expecting one thing and they're hearing something different. We're in that psalm where he says, don't be like Meribah and Massah, where they challenged me. That along that journey of the Exodus, there were many moments, but these two places where the people were so frustrated with the way that things were going, they began to complain and murmur and grumble and want to get rid of their leader. And their hearts were hardened because they wanted their own way. They thought their way was better. Is it any different today? And when the church speaks with authority, do we not at sometimes recoil because it's not what we would expect? It's not the way that we would do it? That we want our own way? That our hearts are hardened? Who is this that speaks with such authority? Are we willing to submit ourselves to the authority of Jesus Christ and his church? When we encounter his word in the scriptures, when we encounter his word in the liturgy, when we encounter his word through the teachings and the declarations of the Holy Father and the bishops, is our heart open or is our heart hardened? This is the challenge placed before us. Because what happened with that demoniac happens to each one of us. We're forced to encounter the life-changing word of Jesus Christ. If our hearts are open and we receive his word, then we're forced. And that same question, have you come to destroy us? Have you come to destroy my life of comfort and ease? Have you come to destroy my life of addiction? Have you come to destroy my life of selfishness and vainglory and pride and whatever else comes up? Have you come here to destroy us? Because that's what it feels like. That we build our own kingdoms, we build our own platforms, and we are resistant to change. And when things don't go our way, we respond the same way as the men in the Old Testament, grumbling, complaining, murmuring, attacking Jesus that he wants to destroy our life. But in one sense, we can say, yes, he has come to destroy. But in reality, he's come to set us free. The same way that Moses was chosen to set the people free, Christ will set you free if you let him. If you allow his word to penetrate to the depths of your heart, to soften your heart, to free you from your preconceived notions of how things are supposed to be, and to receive as children the word of God made present to us in the scriptures, in the teachings of the Holy Mother Church, and the declarations of our Pope and our bishops. This is the key to freedom. And even when things don't go the way that we should, through obedience to the authority of Christ and his church, we will be set free. The men hearing Jesus speak today were astonished. They were perplexed. But they didn't finish with that emotion, with that response. The gospel tells us that they were amazed. Are you amazed at the work Jesus is doing in your life? Are you aware of it? But are you amazed? As we continue in this ordinary time to hear the public works of Jesus proclaimed, allow yourself to go beyond the astonishment, being perplexed, being anxious with a divided heart, but allow Christ to soften your heart by a humble submission to the power that he has to set you free from whatever is holding you down. This is the power of the word of Christ, the word of sacred scripture, the power of the proper liturgical worship. And we don't need to be just astonished. Let's be amazed. Amen.